The blueprints lay spread across the floor beside her, still rolled, still marked with red X's. Pearl stared at them until dawn, her hand resting on the .32, three rounds counting down, and thought about what she would do next. By 5 o'clock, the answer had crystallized. She packed the blueprints into a canvas tube and slipped out of the townhouse before the sky went properly light. The streets were already moving milk carts rattling over cobblestones, newsboys hawking the Herald and the Sun, men in dark suits hurrying toward the stock exchange with newspapers tucked under their arms. No one noticed a woman in a borrowed coat carrying a canvas tube and looking like she hadn't slept in 3 days. That was the advantage of being invisible. Pearl had spent her entire life being overlooked first as a girl who shouldn't be asking questions, then as a woman who shouldn't be doing a man's job. Now it was turning into something useful. She took the horse to the entrance on the Bowery, near where the new tunnel bore into the hill above the East River. The entrance was a squat brick structure, barely taller than a man, with an iron grating and a locked door. Pearl had noted it on her rounds 3 days ago and filed the information away without knowing why it mattered. Now, she pulled the key from her pocket, the same key that had led her from the factory to the machine shop to Vane's townhouse end, tried it in the lock. It turned with a satisfying click. Pearl stood very still. The key fit here, not Vane's office, not the factory, a maintenance entrance to the subway tunnels beneath Delancey Street, which meant Silas Vane had a private access point to the railway system he was trying to monopolize, which meant the red X's on the blueprints weren't just markings, they were targets. She pushed the door open and descended. The stairs were iron, narrow, and slick with condensation. The air grew colder with each step, carrying the smell of wet brick and something sharper, cold dust, maybe, or ozone. At the bottom, a corridor opened into darkness. Pearl struck a match, held it close, and watched the flame bend as though something was breathing on the other side of the tunnel. She lit a second match and stepped inside. The tunnel stretched ahead in a curve of brick and iron support beams, the ceiling low enough that she had to duck. The tracks ran parallel to her left, gleaming faintly in the matchlight. On the right, a service walkway, narrow and uneven, bordered by a drop-off into the dark. Pearl kept to the walkway. Her boots made no sound on the packed earth. She'd learned that trick from her father, who taught her to walk like a shadow before she could read. She walked for what felt like 10 minutes, counting support columns as she passed them. 1, 2, 3, red X 4, 5, 6, red X 7, 8, 9, red X. Every third column, just like the blueprint said. Pearl stopped at the third marked column and held her match closer to the brickwork. There, carved into the mortar between two stones, was a symbol, a circle with a line through it, like a prohibition sign, but crude, scratched with something sharp and hurried. She traced it with her fingertip, fresh scratches. The mortar hadn't cured around the edges. Nobody had been here recently. Pearl turned the match toward the track. On the rail itself, something caught the light, a smear of grease, deliberate and precise, applied along the joint where two sections of track met. Sabotage, not destruction. Sabotage. Grease on a rail joint wouldn't cause a collapse. It would cause a derailment. A slow one. A passenger train rounding a curve at speed, wheels climbing the rail, bodies thrown against steel and glass. She heard it then, a footstep behind her. Pearl froze. The match burned down to her fingers. She dropped it, feeling it sizzle against the wet earth, and drew the .32 in one motion, three rounds. She pressed herself against the brick wall and listened. Another footstep. Closer. Deliberate. Not running. Not hiding. Walking toward her with the casual confidence of someone who knew the tunnel better than she did. Pearl counted to three, then she fired. The gunshot echoed through the tunnel like thunder, bouncing off brick and iron until she couldn't tell where the sound came from anymore. Smoke filled the space, acrid and thick. Her ears rang. Through the haze, she saw a shape move, ducking, retreating, disappearing around the curve ahead. She didn't chase it, not yet. She needed to know where it was going. Pearl holstered the revolver and pulled a fresh match from her pocket. She struck it carefully, shielding the flame with her cupped hand, and followed the curve. The tunnel bent sharply to the right, then opened into a wider chamber where the service walkway merged with the main platform of an unfinished station. Brick arches rose overhead, half finished, the scaffolding still in place. A wooden staircase led up to a grate that let in a thin slice of gray morning light. And on the platform, waiting for her, was a man. He wore a gray coat, same cut as the others she'd seen outside Alina's building, outside the station house, outside Vane's townhouse. He stood with his hands in his pockets, facing away from her, looking up at the arches as though admiring the work. When he heard her approach, he turned slowly. "You're bold," he said. His voice was flat level without inflection. "Most people run when they hear a shot." "I'm not most people." "No," he tilted his head, studying her. "You're the detective, the one who took the key." "It wasn't stolen, it was evidence." "Semantics." He took a step toward her. Pearl raised the .32, he stopped. "You followed us into the tunnels."
"Why?"
"To find out what you're doing here." "What we're doing," he said, and something almost like amusement touched his mouth, "is building the future of this city. You think you're stopping us. You're not. You're standing on a platform in a tunnel that doesn't exist yet, pointing a gun at a man who doesn't matter." "We're laying the cornerstone for tomorrow," he said, a faint, derisive curve touching his lips, "for this city. You believe you can halt us. You cannot. You possess 3 cartridges and a brass key for a lock that will not keep you safe." The man's expression didn't change. "We're marking them for improvement. The current specifications are inadequate. The weight of the trains will exceed the design limits within 18 months. We're reinforcing the weak points. With grease on the rails." He smiled then, and it was worse than not smiling. "You don't know what you're talking about."
"I know enough." Pearl kept the gun steady. "Who gave the order?"
"That doesn't matter."
"It matters to me."
He took another step. Pearl didn't blink. "You're a very small fish in a very large river, Miss Casey. Your father understood that. He knew when to swim and when to let the current take him."
Pearl's jaw tightened. "My father was a good man."
"He was a sensible man." The man's voice stayed level. "There's a difference." Pearl thought of the 3 rounds in the cylinder. She thought of the exit behind her, blocked by the curve of the tunnel. She thought of the men in gray coats waiting upstairs, probably, at every entrance. She thought of Doyle, who had told her to drop the case, who had warned her that Vane's resources were too vast to fight alone.
"What do you want?" she asked.
"Nothing from you, nothing at all. You're an inconvenience, an annoyance, but you're not the target." He tilted his head again, listening to something Pearl couldn't hear. "You should leave. The tunnel isn't safe right now."
"Why?"
He didn't answer. Instead, he turned and walked toward the staircase, his footsteps echoing softly on the wooden steps. He reached the grate, pushed it aside, and disappeared into the morning light. Pearl stood alone in the unfinished station, the smell of gunpowder still hanging in the air, and listened to the silence. Then she heard it, a sound deep in the tunnel behind her, far back where she'd come from. A scrape, then another. Then the faint, metallic ring of something being placed against brick.
A timer.
Pearl spun around and ran. She hit the service corridor at full speed, her canvas tube banging against her hip, the blueprints rattling inside. The tunnel curved, dipped, narrowed. She ducked under low beams, jumped over puddles, her boots slamming against the packed earth. The sound behind her grew louder, a ticking, mechanical, relentless. She reached the stairs and took them 3 at a time, her lungs burning, her legs screaming. Halfway up, the first explosion hit. The ground jumped beneath her feet. Dust rained from the ceiling. The sound was deafening, a roar that filled her skull and pushed her forward more than her legs could. Pearl didn't stop. She threw herself through the iron door at the top, rolled onto the street, and lay there for a moment, gasping, ears ringing, vision swimming. Above her, the Delancey Street entrance to the tunnel was gone. A cloud of dust billowed from the collapsed brickwork, mixing with the morning fog and drifting south toward the river. Pearl pushed herself to her knees and looked at the .32 in her hand. 2 rounds left. She looked back at the collapsed entrance. The explosion hadn't been random. It had been precisely placed at the 3rd column, exactly where she'd seen the mark. They hadn't just been marking the columns, they'd been preparing them, and she'd walked right into the middle of it. Not a trap, a test. They'd let her in to see if she was clever enough to survive, to see if she was worth killing or worth ignoring. Pearl stood, brushed the dust from her coat, and started walking south. The blueprints were still in the tube. The key was still in her pocket. And now she knew exactly what Selah's Vane was planning, not just which columns would fail, but when.
The grease on the rails, the timed charges in the supports. This wasn't sabotage for profit. This was a staged disaster. A collapse designed to look like an accident, to justify a takeover, to eliminate the competition and consolidate control of the entire railway system under Vane's name. And she had walked into it willingly. Because waiting for backup hadn't been an option. Because Doyle had told her to stand down. Because the men in gray coats were everywhere and nowhere, and the only way to find the truth was to put herself in the path of it. Pearl turned the corner onto Grand Street and disappeared into the gray morning, the remaining two rounds counting down, the key burning against her hip like a promise she was finally ready to keep.